Hey, everybody, thank you for tuning in. It's time for Midwest Beat, a program all about music and the people who make it. You're listening to Lakeshore Public Radio at 89.1 FM on the dial and online streaming at lakeshorepublicradio.org. My name is Tom Lounges. I'm your host for the next hour. And today, we actually had a change in guests. We were supposed to have Judas Priest lead singer Rob Halford joining me. But due to scheduling issues, he's unable to do it. We're going to try to reschedule that after the first of the year. But tonight we're going to pay tribute to Greg Ziggy Bila. Greg was a bass player and a founding member of Chicago's very own Hartsfield, one of the great country rock bands of our generation. We're going to talk about Greg a little bit. We're going to have Bernie Glimm joining us and featuring music from the Hartsfield catalog. Stay with us. Good afternoon once again, or I should say good evening. It's getting dark early these days. I'm Tom Lounges, and this is time for Midwest Beat, a program all about music and the people who make it. And again, tonight's show has changed. Originally scheduled, if you looked online, was Rob Halford, lead singer of Judas Priest, to talk about his book Confess. But the scheduling got awry, and we don't have Rob tonight. So instead, we're going to use this hour to pay tribute to one of Chicago's own who sadly passed away on December 4th, Greg Ziggy Bila. He was a founding member, bass player, singer in the band Hartsfield. They gave four great national albums to us, and we're going to play some of the music and remember the great music that Hartsfield made. We're also going to talk about their place in Chicago history and the fact that they inspired so many other bands over the years. They were part of the spearhead, if you will, of the country rock sound, the same sound that we heard from Poco, Prairie League, and the Eagles. Hartsfield didn't get quite as celebrated as those bands, but they were equally as important, and Greg was a big part of it, along with his late great bandmates J.C. Hartsfield and, of course, Perry Jordan. So we're going to have a wang-dang doodle, in the words of Miss Coco Taylor, and we're going to go back and we're going to listen to some of this great country rock. And joining me in just a few minutes will be Mr. Bernie Glimm. And Bernie is himself a longtime country rock Chicago mainstay. And he had the chance to work with Hartsfield a number of times over the years. He's a fan of the band, as am I. So we're going to play some of the tunes. We're going to talk with Bernie. We're going to reflect on the importance of Hartsfield. And we just want to send out our condolences to all of the fans and to his sister and to everybody that is out there listening. Because, you know, we all live a certain amount of time on this earth, and we're remembered by what we leave behind. And there's some great music that is the legacy of Hartsfield and all its members. Let's start off with a song, since we lost Greg recently. This seems an appropriate one. He's heading home to the big home upstairs, where he's going to be meeting with JC and Perry. So this song is off their... I think this was the second album. No, this was the first album. Hartsfield, Hartsfield, and I'm Coming Home.
Mind. I got to be
a man again.
wounds, I got to tend. I got to be.
Got to be a man again.
And not a number in a line. I got to be.
Got to be a man again.
And not a number in a
going back to 1973. Can I get a yee-haw out of everybody right there? Let's celebrate the music of Hartsfield. Celebrate Greg. Celebrate Perry and JC. Fred Dobbs and all the guys, Phil, that are still with us, those that are gone before us, and let's celebrate the music. That's what tonight's about. As I mentioned, if you just tuned in, we lost Greg. He was the bass player, background singer, lead singer, songwriter. All the guys in the band were just this big ensemble. And one of the great things about country rock, if you remember the early 70s, when that was first coming out, 72, 73, 74, bands like Poco, Pure Prairie League, the Eagles, they were all out there. Captain Cody, just the part of the country rock scene that I always loved was the vocal harmonies. And it was the harmonies that made it magical, as well as the fiddle, the dobro, and all the other instruments that we heard in that. Bernie Glimm, are you with us?
I'm right here, Brother Tom.
Did you enjoy that first selection?
I love that, man. Isn't that one that Ziggy wrote and sang?
I believe so. I don't have all the credits in front of me, and my computer is not working very well. So I'm going off memory and off CDs that don't have notes. So, but I think I know he was a big part of it.
I think that was, you know, one of them, I believe. I know they all chip in on the writing. By the time you get to the studio, you know, somebody's throwing like three or four different words into a bridge, and now they are part of the songwriter team, you know.
That's so right.
You know, and so they would write that way a lot, but I think that was a Ziggy tune. I could be wrong, you know, if Scotty or Artie or somebody is listening right now. Scotty, my drummer, who's Scotty Bonchar, is also the drummer, of course, with Hartsfield all these years.
Right.
After when Artie stepped out, and I just talked to Artie tonight, by the way. His heart's broken. He sends his love, and we were talking a little bit about Ziggy and seeing how Artie's doing. Art's doing okay.
That's good.
Miss him. We said we're going to, you know, get together and play some music again. But anyway, talking about that song, it was love. I loved all that harmony, man. All that great stuff. That was. What is that? Is that bluegrass? It's California rock?
Yeah, it's a hybrid, right? In there for sure.
It's off the first album.
It's actually the first song of the first album. So that's literally the song that introduced everybody to Hartsfield.
Isn't that amazing? It really is, because you would think that it would be probably more of a Perry thing, or maybe a Phil Freddy thing as far as lead vocals or Phil or something, but maybe not. They all took leads, of course, but interesting that would be the first song on the first album. That's kind of cool.
I like it. That's why I played it. Plus, it just seemed right. I'm coming home. And, of course, Greg, for those of us that are believers and Christians and all that, we know that, you know, when we leave here, we do go home. And no one knows that better than you, Bernie.
Well, you know, I don't know about that. All I do know is that even those who aren't believers will certainly find out they're going somewhere.
Amen to that.
Right.
Let's hope that they have cold beer and sawdust on the floor when we get there.
Well, you know, as I'm sitting here by the fireplace right now, and I got all the Christmas lights around us, and I'm thinking about Perry and Ziggy and all the guys, you know, so I got, you know, in honor of them and especially honor of Perry, I got a shot of whiskey here and a beer.
I should have thought of that and brought it to the station, although I probably would have had a pink slip then the next day. But You know, right. It's interesting because, you know, you have performed with the guys. You were friends with the guys. I worked with them back in the 80s when we booked the Point East and we did some different shows together. And the last show that I ever did with Perry, you were there with him. We were doing a fundraiser and you were there representing your band and Country Roads. And Tommy was there, and Tommy's sadly right. No longer with us, and Perry's right. Sadly no longer with us. So you're the last right. Man standing from that evening. And
yeah.
It just seems, you know, in my heart and in my mind, and when I listen to these songs, I still feel like I'm 16 to 18 years old again. And
yeah,
when I see you perform, you know, we're up there just like the guys are. And
yeah,
but I see you perform and you're like a kid up there. And I think mm-hmm. that's the magic of music.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that. It's like I feel 19 at 21 again, you know, you strap it on and you just go to where it takes you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and these days it takes maybe four or five songs to get there. but you go there every time, you know, you go there every time and you're 19 and 20 again. And, you know, and yeah, you feel like you want to jump off the stage again, you know, except you kind of, you know, break your ankle, your shoulder, like Scotty did last with Hartsfield's show, I think, a year ago. He blew his shoulder out. You know, he was jumping off the stage thinking he was back when he was 20, but he wasn't 20.
Right, right.
But,
I wish.
Know, yeah, it makes you feel that way, though, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yep, it does. You know, you were mentioning talking to Artie and Scotty. I was on the phone today with Debbie LaCoffo, Phil's wife, and I was texting Hi. With Phil, also a founding member, a writer, singer, guitar player with the band.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to actually be talking to me about some things in a couple of days. He was at work tonight and couldn't join us. But everybody is just heartbroken over Ziggy's death, as is expected. And it mm-hmm. says something about the friendships when these are guys that many of them haven't played together in years, although you stay in touch. You know, your friends, just like your college friends, your high school friends, some stay, some go. They've all stayed in touch with each other. The LaCoffo said that Ziggy was like family,
mm-hmm.
and it breaks their heart. It breaks our heart as fans. Mm-hmm. Is there a special memory that you have? I know you've worked with the guys over the years here and there. Is there a special memory you have?
I can think of... one of the things that I think Ziggy was on the show was we did a, and you were on that show as well. Oh, we did. It was my band, Vernon Glimmon Country Roads. It was Hartsfield,
mm-hmm.
and it was Kansas.
Oh yeah, we got up and all sang at the end of it. I remember that.
Right, we all sang at the end of it, but Zig was on bass. If I'm not mistaken, was he not?
I do believe he was that night.
He was there, and that was a very big thing because I remember that we're wondering if Zig was going to make it. So it was like, you know, almost all the same guys, all the guys except JC wasn't there. But Phil was there, right?
Didn't yeah, Phil was there because Julia was there too, his daughter.
That's right. Phil was there. So that was a magical night. And that's the last time that I remember, you know, being on a show with Zig, but that was a very magical evening. Then at the end, we all got together, and all three bands, and we all did Your Love.
Your Love is Lifting Me Higher. Yes, indeed.
And it was a tremendous evening. So, yeah, he was a really beloved character, man, that's for sure, you know.
I didn't know Zig as much as I knew Perry and JC, especially Perry and Phil. I've gotten mm-hmm. to know really well. But what I remember about Ziggy is his humor. He was kind of the quiet one, I guess you'd say. He didn't talk a lot, at least not around me. But every time he talked, he had some kind of comment or snafu thing that he would say that would just make me laugh and make the room. He'd break the silence, so to speak. Him mm-hmm. and Perry together were the clowns, I guess you'd say, of the band. They had the greatest senses of humor. And together they were like Lewis and Martin or something. I mean, they were Abbott and Costello of the country rock scene.
That's pretty cool. I tried, you know, I didn't know Zig, you know, I met him at that show, but I know that Phil is going to be able to fill you in on a lot of things. When's Phil going to be on your show?
Not sure yet. We're going to talk tomorrow and figure out what we're going to do. So we'll see about that.
Know, I was looking at your the promo that you posted on Facebook tonight for tonight's show,
mm-hmm.
A radio show, and and you were talking about some different songs that you would play and talk about. And one of them was The Only Time I'm Sober Is When You're Gone.
And great song.
The last time that actually we ever were together with you, me, and Perry and Tom was in your radio. It wasn't just a live show that we did, but it was actually in your studio on live radio.
That's right.
That that we were doing that with Perry and me and Tommy, and we were just trading songs back and forth. And that was one of them that we did, which is from that point on, I kept doing it.
Yeah, so, yeah, I love that. Matter of fact, you did it this summer, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
I thought so. We did that show in Highland. I thought you did it there.
I did. I do it. I love it. It's tongue in cheek, and it's got an attitude, and it's fun, and it rocks out, and it's got that swing blues, country rock blues thing to it, and it's great. No, Perry did more of a straight rock and roll almost thing than I do to it. I probably put more of a swing thing to it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He'll just go da 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 da. You know, he'll just like, rock it out like Chuck Berry almost. That's cool memories.
That's another song that goes back to the first album, 1973. And, you know, talking about it makes me want to hear it. So let's play it. This is going back to the first Hartsfield album, again, 73, the songs that introduced us to this incredible band. And when you think about the bands like Poco and Pure Prairie League and Commander Cody and all these different artists that were out there, listen to this song. And I defy you to think that it's not as big a hit or as good a song or as good a playing as any of those bands, including the Eagles.
Absolutely right, man. And listen to two things. Listen to Perry's rhythm guitar and listen to Ziggy's bass line. It'll tell you just how much this is a rock song.
This is a great tune. Turn it up, everybody, and let's remember the great Hartsfield.
When I first met you, didn't understand what a nagging, bitching woman can do to a man. Well, it seems that the girl I married ain't quite the same. Well, I thought I knew you better when I gave you my name. Now, the only time I'm sober is when you're gone. Travel anywhere's too far, and they know me by my first name at all the local bars. Well, I've heard that a failing love can drive a man to drink. Well, I would have left you if I hadn't been too high to think that the only time I'm sober is when you're gone. Guess I'd better go now, it's getting pretty late. But I'll be back tomorrow night, so please save my place. And I'll tell you all about the tales of pain and misery and the heartaches that you cause by being too damn blind to see that the only time I'm sober is when you're gone. And the bottle is the only thing that keeps me hanging on. The man on the radio keeps singing sad, sad songs. Like the only time I'm sober is when you're gone. Like the only time I'm sober is when you're gone.
Man, that song puts a smile on my face and a tap in my toe. It's, again, off the first album. Bernie Glimm is my guest tonight, remembering the amazing band Hartsfield. That song was actually written by Phil and Perry. Debbie LaCafo is listening out in Arizona to the show tonight, and she just chimed in on that, and she's loving it. So thank you, Debbie, for making sure that we had it right on that one. But what a great song. I mean, when you think about it, that was their first album, both those songs we've played. And think of the era. You and I were both there in the early 70s, and Charlie Daniels was coming out, and like I said, Poco Prairie League, all these different bands were out there. Ricky Nelson had kind of got the ball started, in my opinion, as a music journalist and wannabe historian. I always thought Stone Canyon Band, Ricky Nelson's country band, was the first real country rock band. They pioneered the sound. And Randy Meisner, of course, was in that band, went on to form the Eagles with the other guys. And, you know, I just think that in 1972, 73, when these guys were getting started, there was nothing like this sound out there, not on the pop charts anyway.
Wow. That's amazing how much you know. I didn't realize Meisner was in that Stone Canyon band, but yeah, that really is. That's amazing because I wasn't thinking along those lines, but really, where did that actually start from? Ricky was one of the spear points of that. I've got to say about that last song that, you know, I was wrong on my talking about the style of how they do that song just now. No, because there is more of a swing. That's Texas swing, what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, you're thinking of when they did it live, because they did rock it up live.
Absolutely, because when we were in the studio with Perry, man, he was like, you would think it was Chuck Berry sitting next to me. I mean, it was just like doodle 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 doodle, you know, and then even more so when he would play it live. But there'd be a little more swing to it when they played it live because that chorus is begging for it. But that recording right there, that's like a Texas swing country tune, you know. I think if I'm not mistaken, and I've been wrong before, but isn't that Phil playing a pedal?
I think so. I could be wrong. So, like I said, I don't have any notes in front of me here.
Debbie, if you're listening, you would know. Debbie would know. So,
well, Debbie just told us that we were wrong on the first part we talked about. That Perry wrote actually. I'm Coming Home, the first song we played.
He did. See, there you go. We need Debbie.
And Debbie just said, yes, she's following us here on the text messages. And she said, yeah, you're right, he did play the pedal.
I thought so. Yeah, Phil is just phenomenal. I mean, everybody in this area era back then and this area back then, just, you know, we just admired him so much because he was just a phenomenal guitarist and musician like there is playing the pedal steel on that tune. But just melodic as can be. I mean, he was as melodic as Felder or Ledden or anybody else, you know, that came out of Eagles as far as like writing melodies and writing hooks in your solos that you're going to remember.
Right. We're going to have Phil on his own.
Man, and, you know, you play some hot solos, but nobody remembers it because it's just a whole bunch of stuff. But when Phil played, you remembered it, man.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have him on the show down the road here a little ways, and I want to have him send me some of the stuff he's worked on in later years. And, of course, his amazingly talented daughter, Julia, a.k.a. Juice, she's going to be on here. She's got some big things happening for her, as I understand. We caught up a little bit today. Again, that's the sad thing. You know, it takes someone passing to get everyone connected again. And hopefully you don't lose touch. You and I, after Tommy died, you know, we hadn't talked in a while, and we both mourned him, and we got together, and we talked about him, and, you know, it brings everyone back together, and it all centers around the music. And, you know, just prepping for tonight, I did a little bit of research, and I learned new things that I hadn't known. Like, for instance, I didn't realize that that Perry and Ziggy were both part of the American Breed. When the American Breed, who were famous for Bend Me, Shape Me with Gary Loizzo, when they parted ways with the original lineup, Gary wanted to go on, and he got a new lineup, which had Ziggy and Perry and Glenn Rupp, who later went on to do the Hounds. Those guys had been in a local band called Shady Days, and he wound up recruiting Shady Days as the new American Breed. And then shortly thereafter, they got the call from J.C. Hartsfield, and their hearts were in the twang, as they say, and they left American Breed and formed Hartsfield, and the rest, as they say, is history. So I did not realize the lineage of the American Breed into Hartsfield. That knocked me over with a feather.
You're telling me right now, knocked me over, because I did not know that. That is really cool. That's pretty cool, because I was a big Gary LaWiza fan, you know?
Uh-huh.
And because he's gone on to do so many great things after that with Pumpkin Studios and all that stuff. But
producing Sticks and everything else, yeah. We just lost him a few years ago.
Gary?
Yeah. We lost him just a couple years ago. He was part of that Cornerstone series with the Ides and the American Breed and, you know, all those guys, Ronnie Rice and the guys. But, he's gone now,
man.
Too.
Right. Ronnie was with...
New Colony 6.
New Colony 6, of course. That's right. Yeah, Ronnie was, you know.
But Hartsfield, for the listeners that don't know, of course, we're introducing some younger people, I'm sure, to this great music that they made. They had three albums on Mercury Records and one on Columbia Records. Now, mind you, this is the mid-70s when classic rock, or what would be known later as classic rock, was in its heyday. To get a record deal on these labels was a big deal. It really was.
And
they went out and toured with everybody. I mean, Hartsfield was on the road with just about everybody in those days.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, they were, and the people that were touring with, you know, kids today might go, oh, those are oldies but goodies things. But back then, we're talking like being on the same stage with Steely Dan and touring with Doobie Brothers and, you know, people that when it was actually happening.
Right.
I mean, that's big stuff, man. You know, and to me... I think it's just the for them to be there up against Poco and Eagles and still get those album contracts was absolutely amazing.
Now, Mercury Records was based in Chicago at that time, but they were still a national label, an international label. They had David Bowie, for goodness sake. Mercury was a big deal, and to have them sign for three albums, I don't know what happened, but I think Mercury dropped the ball. They had a lion by the tail with a band like Hartsfield at that point in time when nobody had that sound. And I just don't think they knew what to do with them. And sadly, they didn't get as big as the Eagles, or the Beatles for that matter. But, they certainly have left this legacy. And that's the one thing I take a lot of pride in, you know, having been friends with Perry and know the guys. That when it's all said and done and we all shuffle off this mortal coil, there will be the music still here, and hopefully people will remember it and they'll say, wow, those guys were good. And to me, that's the best honor a musician can get, is to have someone long after you're gone to enjoy and get pleasure and appreciate what you've left as an art.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. It's, we can't take it with us. But if you played something from your very heart, truly touched people and touched their heart and their spirit with a talent that God's given you, and then you work so hard to make it even better, that is the greatest thing you can leave behind. I can't think of anything else, because there's so much love in that music. It takes that to make such beautiful music. And those guys were special, man. They really were. You know, they Hartsfield had all the vocals and everything and the writing and all the chops that the Eagles had. And what Hartsfield had was that Midwest, there was a blues thing going on with them too.
Yep.
You know, whereas with Eagles, there wasn't any blues thing at all. They were doing rock, folk rock,
California
rock.
Style. Yeah,
California style, man. And Hartsfield was coming out of, you know, Roseland.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, there was soul and blues. There was lots of stuff in there that was really cool. But with these Eagles type vocals, I mean, it was, you know, really the band around here, man. They were really very special.
It's interesting you said that, because that's something that I wouldn't have pointed out, but I just had the same conversation with Elvin Bishop about 3-4 weeks ago. We were talking about, you know, because he's definitely got Southern roots. But he was weaned in the clubs of Chicago playing the blues. So now he's back with Alligator Records doing blues slash country hybrid music. And we were talking about the southern aspect and the country sound because, of course, you know, Charlie Daniels in the South's Gonna Do It Again famously said, Elvin Bishop ain't good looking, but he sure can play. And I says, what do you think of that? He goes, Charlie was too big a man to confront him on that. So, but you're right. I mean, Elvin got that blues sound in his country roots too, and Hartsfield carried that on. I never would have pointed that out, but thank you for that.
Yeah, that's what made them Midwest, you know. That's what made them Midwest. They had the Eagles vocals, which were tremendous. You know, you got 5-6 guys singing, man.
Right.
You know? And they all just sang beautifully. They all wrote, as the Eagles all wrote, and all their chops were every bit as good. It's really a question of where their style was coming from or what their roots were. Their roots were Chicago.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were talking about how good the albums are, and they certainly were. Three on Mercury, one on Columbia. We're going to get to a couple more of the studio tracks, but one of the things that made Hartsfield unique and special all at the same time, and this is how I was introduced to them, was on the stage of the Point East right around 1979, 1980, was the first time I saw them live. I had known their music from the albums, but I saw them live, and you know, a lot of times you see a band live and you can leave a little disappointed. Maybe it isn't quite what you thought. But Hartsfield not only met the expectations, but exceeded them. And we've got a live track from 1975. And again, this is a song that is a popular one for the fans. And it's also one that we did in the studio when we were all together on the radio show many, many years ago. And you might remember this one. It's off the Foolish Pleasures album. It's called Honest Junkie. Remember that?
Wow.
Digging out the 1975 live concert version of it. This is Hartsfield. We'll be back with more memories, more music, and more Bernie Glimm after this.
Smells very sweet in here this evening. Is everybody lighting cigarettes?
How's your head?
It's called Honest Junkie. Claimed to be a friend of mine. He said he was an honest junkie. He don't make the $5 on it. He slid across the lawn with a shuffle. He had a tip and a little stewy step. Well, the half closed, the shot eyes. He gave a look. Supposed to make you think he was here.
You don't trust no honest
don't
junkie.
Trust no, don't trust no. Don't trust no. Junkie, take your money and run. Don't you turn your back on a fool like that. The helm taking lies is fun. He said it bags are fine. You know it's only a line. You better take your money and run. Oh, but it's no honest junkie. Shoot off the son of a gun.
Don't trust no honest
don't
junkie.
Trust no. Don't you trust no junkie. Junkie, take your money and run. Don't you turn your back on a fool like that. The hell take a life's fun. He's headed back to find you know it's all.
no honest junkie. Sweet talk and show no gun.
Trust no honest junkie. Listen to the crowd going crazy, roaring for Hartsfield, taking you back. That was actually recorded in St. Louis at the Ambassador Theater. And that was what you call letting the song walk a little bit, breathe a little bit. They hadn't even released Foolish Pleasures yet. It was soon to come out, that song, on the studio album. But they were still working it out on stage there. What a great tune.
Man, what a rocking tune, man.
There's where you're talking about that rock sound.
Yeah.
When they were live.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's it. When they were live, they really went to a rock thing. There's always that blues thing there. You notice, I mean, it's there. The blues is there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Midwest Chicago, that's blues. But there's that rock thing, especially live. And, you know, and just all the great slide work going on there. But you listen to the bass lines, digs what he's playing, the Artie on drums. It's like just driving.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, when you're like the guy who drives the band, man, it's the bass line, you know,
mm-hmm.
and drummer is like helping him drive that line, but it's the bass line, you know, like when you're walking up to a concert and you're maybe like a couple blocks away, you park your car and you're walking up and you can't wait to see whoever it is, Stones or whoever it is you're going to see that night. And what's the first thing you hear?
You hear that bass coming through the walls.
That's right, you hear the bass coming through, man. The bass is what's driving the tunes, driving the song, and everybody just hangs on, you know, latch on to that dude. And you got a drummer that's driving it like that with them, and that's one hell of a rhythm section. You put that kind of all these other chops together, man, that's one badass band, that's all I can tell you.
You know what I like about that is that set right there kind of shows you that Hartsfield was also not only on the spearhead of the country rock scene, but also on the jam band scene. They were right there with the Allmans and some of the other bands that kind of just stretched out and let the music take them where it took them, and at some point they just reeled it all back in, and the crowd loved it.
Yes, you know what? And they still do that. That's what's really cool. I went and saw them... You know, again, Scott, he plays drums with me. He's a Hartsfield main drummer,
mm-hmm.
Scotty Bonsar. But it was last summer. I went. It was Irish Fest, and they were playing in it. I went the next day after we were done playing, and I went and saw them, and it was just a joy to like watch the guys just stretch out. And it was like they were a jam band, but what was cool is they were a jam band with perimeters.
Okay.
They're parameters. So you just don't, like, go on forever. Because no matter who it is, you can only take just so much of that.
Right.
You
know? But the magic is bringing it back together as a cohesive unit. That's the magic.
Yeah, exactly. And having that freedom, you know, within those parameters. And that's, I just absolutely loved it. I was just, you know, I was just a huge fan watching them play, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
And that was just last year. So, I mean, that band, you know, you got Steve on bass, just you know, killer.
Yeah, the band is carried on. Hartsfield is still out there. Freddie Dobbs is still there. He's one of the founders. I think he's the last original member in the group, but Dave Nelson's been there a long time. Scotty on drums, Steve Eddington.
Right.
Is it Andy? I'm trying to remember the other member. Gosh, I know. I'm sorry if I'm messing it up.
Dave and Andon.
Andon, that's who it is. So those guys are still out there, and they're making music and touring and all that fun stuff.
Great players, man. Great players. I mean, they're still, and they're doing honor to the original arrangements of that all the boys wrote. You know, the original Hartsfield guys wrote, and it's great. And Scotty, of course, doing a lot of honor to all of Artie's drum parts and things.
Right.
They get right. They're doing it the way it was done, and it's great. Great show.
Now, if you just tuned in, ladies and gentlemen, we've got about 10, 12 minutes left. We are paying tribute to a great band called Hartsfield out of Chicago. They were the pioneers, along with the Eagles and Poco and all the others mentioned earlier, of the Southern, I wouldn't even say Southern rock, country rock sound. Southern rock was a whole different thing with the triple guitar army like the Outlaws and Molly Hatchet and Skynyrd. But the reason we're doing this is that we just lost the third of the original lineup, Greg Ziggy Bila. He passed away after suffering a stroke, as I understand, a couple days ago. December 4th, we had to say goodbye to him. And I learned of the news by seeing it mentioned on Artie Baldacci's website or Facebook page. He wrote a very tender and touching memory of being in the rhythm section with Greg. And I, you know, it just... And then I heard from Steve Crabtree, and then I heard from others that were part of that whole circle of friends and fans, and the word just got out quick, and the memorials are coming in, and people, you know, I haven't talked to Greg in forever, and he left the band quite a while ago, but like I said, you just don't forget the people that leave fingerprints on your life, and the music of Hartsfield was big with me, and obviously with you as well.
Absolutely. I just, you know, I always admired them. There's some great bands from the Midwest.
Someone called them the Midwest answer to the Grateful Dead. I thought, in a way, maybe, but I thought they had a little more going on.
I was going to say, I think they had more, first they had better vocals.
Well, yeah.
Right.
Sorry, Jerry.
Sorry. But, I mean, I'm weird and all those guys, and I love them and all, but, you know, Fetches, is that really, you know. If you're going to be that out of tune when you're singing, then you have to be the band.
Right.
You got to be, okay. you got to be Helm and the guys and Robbie Robertson, those guys, you know, because they would like, okay, that's close. You know?
Yeah.
But there was a rock thing. There was a, you know, like a loose rock thing about their harmony. With me, when I think about Hartsfield, it's like Midwest answer to the Eagles as far as, you know, harmony goes, as far as songwriting goes, as far as chops go. It's just that, you know, there was a blues thing going on. You know, I think that was happening. But if you notice, though, you notice the bluegrass thing, the very first song you played, Coming Home, I mean, that's like a bluegrass thing going on.
Yeah. Well, their sound definitely progressed with each album. It just moved on and on. And, we heard a couple songs from that first album earlier, Coming Home. And then, what was the other one we just played? I forget. Only Time I'm Sober is When You're Gone. Both off that first album. And then we heard something off Foolish Pleasure, which was done live. So now let's go back to that second album from 1974. And this one was written by Perry. And this is another one that he did, I believe, when we did the radio show. Again, these are certain songs that maybe because Perry sang them at shows I was at or the band performed them when I was with them, that they stand out as favorites of mine. And do you remember House of the Living?
House of the Living, I can't remember it. I do know this, though. I'm going to ask you this before you play the song. Do you remember when we were in the studio and I brought my latest cut to you, which was a redone version of She's a Hero?
Yes. Okay. You wrote that in honor of a fallen officer.
It was in honor of actually Karen wrote it. I helped, but Karen wrote the bulk of it. But that was about the women in the military.
That's right.
Right. Okay.
But so, wasn't it a certain soldier, military personnel that inspired you to do that? Someone that was in the headlines and inspired you to write it? I thought.
Yeah. It inspired Karen to write it because she it was about this the women that she had been reading about that were pretty unsung heroes.
Right.
And going all the way back to all the wars, going back to Korea and going back to Vietnam and World War II, but especially during Vietnam, there were so many women heroes that were killed when they were, overrun, when the camp was overrun. They weren't out in the bush with guns or anything at the time. But anyway, she wrote that. But so I had redone the guitar solo in that song, and I brought it to you to play. But that's when Perry was there.
Mm-hmm.
And Perry had brought you new songs he was working on. And they were killer, man. They were hot. And you played a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you remember those, if you have those. Anyway, I've always thought about that. It's like, I wonder what happened to those, because those are really hot songs, man.
Yeah, I don't know if that was off his Georgia Flyer solo album or if that was off the Rockin' Country, which I thought was pre-recorded. Maybe there was some new stuff on there, too. We'll have to dig that out and see if I can find that.
You should check that out, because I just remember sitting there going, oh, man, that's very, you're as good as ever, if not better. I mean,
right.
It's pretty good stuff.
Well, let's go back
to... What are we going to play now?
We're going back to the Wonder of It All album. This was one written by Perry. This is called House of the Living, and here we go.
Shining brightly, made his dancing bright. Well, it's the same with me and you, so sing with us tonight. Around you, yeah, won't you come inside? Come inside.
chair and I want you to.
I hear a lonesome sailor calling as he makes his flight. Well, take me from these stormy seas and won't you give me peace tonight? And then that sun come a shining brightly, made his day seem bright. Well, it's the same with me and you, so sing with us tonight.
Come with me to this house of living. Join with me and I'll join with you. Come on by and we'll learn by giving. I like to share and I want you to. Come with me to this house of living.
Going back 1974, The Wonder of It All, House of the Living, and you heard the bluegrass sound on the first album that we played with them, Coming Home. You can hear the evolution to the Eagles sound on that with those harmonies.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that is beautiful stuff.
What a chorus. Huh? What a chorus.
Yes, indeed.
Well, good Lord. They killed that one, man.
Once again, we're listening tonight to the music of Hartsfield, a great band out of Chicago. The music we've been playing has come from the early to mid-1970s. We were signed to Mercury and Columbia Records. And the reason for this is we're remembering not only the band, but also Greg Ziggy Bila, who has passed away. He was a founding member and bass player of the band. His fingerprints are all over these great songs, along with those that have gone before him, Perry Jordan and J.C. Hartsfield. And, you know, we're gonna miss them, but we've got the music to listen to them by. And Bernie Glimm has been my guest, helping me reflect and remember on this great band. And, Bern, I think I found a song. It's not one of the new ones, but it's one that we played that he debuted on my old show. And he wrote it along with Dave Nelson, a current member of Hartsfield. And this was the song they did in tribute to 9/11, if you remember. Don't Wake the Sleeping Giant.
Cool.
Don't Wake the Sleeping Giant. So we're going to leave everyone with that. Bernie, thank you for your time. Stay in touch with me. Let's get you back in the studio when COVID goes bye-bye. We're going to have Phil LoCafo joining us at some point soon. Maybe we'll get you back in when he's here as well. And we'll have some more fun with this music.
I'd love it. I would surely would. Thanks a lot, Tom.
All right. Thank you so much. All right, everybody. Don't wake the sleeping giant, and that giant is America. God bless everybody. Adios, and rest in peace, Greg. We will miss you.
Wrong in our bountiful